start now. Is there anyone in that room that is not able to understand German? So the presentation is intended to be in English? Okay, so we recite in English. Perfect. So welcome to my session today. My name is Roland Schaefer. I'm with Matrix 42 product manager, and I'm responsible for the little set of products that we have in our portfolio that are concentrating on optimizing SCCM. And today I'd like to introduce you to basically three parts of that SCCM optimization that we have in our more broader product portfolio, which is also dealing with service management components like service catalog, incident management, and so on. But today, as I said, I'd like to, as many of you would have expected, concentrate on the SCCM piece. If you have any questions during the presentation, please just raise your hand maybe. I have a microphone here and we'll hand it over to you then. So as I said, we have three topics for today's session. Will be a little bit difficult to handle that in 1 hour because I'd like to not only bore you with hundreds of PowerPoint slides, but also show a little bit of live demo. So I'd like to do the PowerPoint slides as quickly as I can and do as most as possible in live demo. But if you are interested in more detail, please, as I said, raise your hand for questions. It may occur that I point you to come to our stand from Matrix 42 to answer the detailed questions maybe the next 2 days, so only to let you know. First topic that we are dealing today is Enterprise Manager for SCCM. It's basically a web console that sits on top of SCCM and controls all the default functions that you have on your daily repetitive task workflow, let's say. So push out software, view inventory, do reporting, and so on. The second thing I would like to show you is a patch catalog for SCCM that is containing various third-party patches which are not Microsoft applications, and we're delivering data for that you can just use with SCCM, with the SCCM agent, with the SCCM infrastructure to get rid of this patching hassle, at least for the products that we are supporting right now. And the third thing is brand new package cloud for SCCM. That is a thing that's delivering pre-packaged applications, roughly 450, that you can use directly with SCCM as a pre-packaged content, like I said, for the patch catalog. So the first thing, and this is just to let you know, we have a couple of references in the field of Europe and also for bigger companies that are maybe spread all over the world. So our first and biggest reference is the BMW Group in Munich. They have developed the Enterprise Manager, so the web console that sits on top of SCCM, together with us roughly 5 years ago. So that was a thing that was raised out of a project we had with these guys. It's not something that we invented because we said we have so many great ideas and we like to bring a new product to the market. It was really a thing that was raised out of a project with real customer needs. Another customer reference is ZF Friedrichshafen, and many of you maybe, if you're coming from these countries here, will know City of Bern, also a very interesting customer with challenges we are solving with our web console on top of SCCM. So the Enterprise Manager, as I said, basically it's a web console which sits on top of SCCM and is orchestrating SCCM SDK to do all these repetitive tasks that we have on our daily basis. So pushing out a piece of software to a bunch of computers, creating a collection, doing reporting, all these stuff sits inside that web console, which is, in most of the cases, just orchestrating default functions that SCCM has on its own, but in a very easy way. So for an example, maybe some of you maybe looked up YouTube again already on that topic. I created one or two little videos where I try to showcase how much effort you need to put in if you want to create a collection and push out a piece of software on three computers using SCCM. I counted the clicks, okay? And then I did the same thing with our console. So, and the result is you need more or less a fourth of the time and a fourth of the clicks. So it's not directed to all these SCCM administrators that I assume you are, but it's really directed to these guys that are dealing with more or less simple tasks like help desk folks or decentral admins that have not seen any SCCM training before. So this is really the focus of our web console, to make it easy, to make it fast, to make it secure, to make it delegatable. All these routine tasks, as I said, can be done with our web console without requiring any training. That's the cool stuff on that part. Most of our customers are just creating little videos where they do 1 or 2 minute videos to showcase to their internal customers. So BMW Group is doing it like that, to showcase how they proceed or how they achieve to roll out a piece of software on five computers or something without really putting the guys that are needing to, that are solving these problems with SCCM to training. End users is very interesting. That I will ask some questions during that presentation, and this is the first time where your feedback is interesting for me. Do you think that your end users are satisfied with the service they get in terms of interaction with SCCM system, with the agent, in terms of disturbance, or in terms of quality of service, in terms of delivery speed? Is there anyone who says, my users are completely happy with that? Okay. The speed, you say, it's maybe the most interesting thing where the users say, hey, this could be optimized?
Not even the user,
administrators. The administrators as well, okay. Thank you. The next thing why we think, or why our customers think, that optimization in the SCCM space is interesting is because of service desk incident volume. So this discipline of client management, no matter if we are talking about SCCM or Alteryx, Enteo, Empyrean, what we have in our portfolio as well, or other products, this discipline is nothing special. So pushing out a piece of software, we do that 20 years ago, and we do it today. But from our customer base, we are dealing regarding the topic with many service desk incidents, and we sit down to think about that. How can we remove the rays of certain problems that are always again and again creating these service desk incidents because of software distribution? So how do we do that? As I said, our company is called Matrix 42, and this is the reason why I tried to explain that with two little pills. Maybe some of you know the movie Matrix. I think all of you may know that. So the red pill is, from my point of view, I call it the painkiller pill. It's really only the web console that sits on top of SCCM, where you can deal with all these repetitive default tasks in a very easy and simple way. It really doesn't need any more infrastructure or agents. It just controls SCCM over SDK. By the way, we are, as many of you maybe have expected already, we are a System Center Alliance partner from Microsoft, so certified with the logo on it, everything. We don't do SQL inserts or something. It's all over the official SDK. So the second pill is the technology pill, I call it. It's a blue pill. I will come back to that explanation later on, maybe two or three times. This is the reason why I'm explaining that, why it's important that you know what I'm talking about if I come to the red and the blue pill. The blue pill is important because it closes the feature gaps SCCM has today. So there's a second component in our so-called Enterprise Manager for SCCM. It is the agent. The agent sits on every end user device, so on every computer, and is able to execute the additional logic, the additional functions that our product delivers, where SCCM doesn't have any clue what we're talking about. So I will have some more examples later on what this exactly is. I will go over that a little bit more quickly. The important things are really for us in that space of Enterprise Manager: satisfy end users, make them productive, less disturbance is the important key, what I think. Delivery of services in seconds, so make it really quick and easy for the end users as well as for the administrators. And do all that stuff based on that web console without requiring any technical training. That's the important thing at that point. I will now switch over to the live demo to show you a little bit insights and hands-on what I was talking about. That is not exactly what I expected. That looks better. Okay. Any questions so far? Okay. So as I said, it's a web console. So we are running an IIS site where all the stuff is stored. Oh no, I have a problem with the resolution. Just a second, please. Am I on the big resolution? Okay, it should run. Okay. So what is that? Just a second, sorry for that. Okay, will work. So this is our web console, which is basically built on HTML5 and jQuery. So that means you can run that on every device, no matter if you're using a smartphone. Okay, you have to scroll a little bit. But if we're talking about iPad or Surface, this is working very good. It has a very full-featured delegation model, and I will now guide you once through the different areas of that web console and show one or two use cases that our customers like to solve with our product here. First, the interesting thing is that we are just grabbing the data that SCCM has and displaying it in our style. So that means in terms of inventory, for example, you don't have that, for me, a little bit old-styled resource explorer, what you know from SCCM maybe, but it's a little bit more clean. You can configure how you'd like to see the data. But the most interesting part in that is that you can pull data from third-party systems in your inventory from SCCM, what you have, what SCCM agent generates, and display it just as it were the regular inventory from this computer. So that means you could go through to your CMDB, to an Excel file or whatever, and pull any data that you have for the computer in our console. There's a default importer, which you first need to configure, and then you pull that data into that web view here. And the interesting thing is not only that you can make it visible in that web console, but you can use it for creating reports, for creating collections, for doing rollouts, which from my perspective, and this was the thinking behind that, increases the business relevance of that data that you can use to create or to manage the computer. So that means you could say, for every computer which runs out of leasing in 2 months or less, do this or that. Or you can say, I want to do an office rollout, but please do it. Please don't do it for the computers that are running out of leasing in the next 3 months because the computer is exchanged anyway. Why should I have the risk to have trouble tickets for that computer in this rollout? It doesn't make any sense. So this is, from my point of view, the interesting thing in terms of importing third-party data into Enterprise Manager and using it for rollouts, for reporting stuff. One customer is only using our product because of that inventory and reporting component. The other stuff, he just said, that's nice, it's cool, but I don't need it. I want to have a clean, easy to use, and delegatable inventory. And the main point for them to use our product was that we can simply configure our role and delegation model to show specific information only to specific users or groups of users. That mean, one example maybe, you all know maybe if you're coming from Europe, we have restrictions who is allowed to see an information like when did Mr. Shepard last log into that computer? How many times did he log in? That's not allowed to, no one should see that. So there are need to be different agreements to make this information visible. What we can do is we show person one, all data in the inventory, person two or team two or group two, only a subset of maybe installed applications and which operating system runs on that machine. Just a little example, there is one customer that is only using that tool because of that. So I mentioned the reporting stuff. This is one other very important and interesting topic here because, as I said, we are able to create reports that are really easy to create because there is a little framework which we use which makes it really easy to determine target states of computers or to filter groups of computers out of a bunch where you can say I will add two or five filters which just not requiring any SCCM or SQL knowledge. And I will just say, give me all computers that are running out of leasing before this date and have a product installed like, let's say, what do I have? SIP, maybe 7SIP. So what I can do is doing this. And this is the base of my report. This is the way how we do that. This is the way how easy it is. Without any technical knowledge of how inventory works or how SCCM or how SQL works. And the cool stuff on that is that we have an eventing system which reacts on the calculation of these reports. And once a report gets created, we can send maybe an email to the subscribers of that rollout. And for instance, displaying a trend analysis. So a customer, which is maybe a very good example, a customer of ours is really using that like the example I created for renewal of computers to validate if the external provider they are using to really exchange the hardware is doing their job as they are intended to do. So how many computers did they roll out this day or that week? So, and this is just a thing where I can easily say, hey, dear my manager, every day you get that report, you see what I did. I do not have to fill out any status stuff. So one customer uses it for that. That's very interesting. As I showed already, you can really combine every criteria that you have from the inventory to create these reports. Maybe interesting as well. One customer was very curious where we showed that report is how many dead clients do you have in your AD, maybe? Where are they? this is a thing that you can really easy get out of this reporting system, because we are not only dealing with computers that have an inventory inside of SCCM, but we can say, get me all computers out of the AD, maybe. Okay, that should be enough for the first view on inventory and reporting. The most interesting topic that we are dealing or that our customers are using within our product is obviously the distribution area. In the distribution area, most of the time, the majority of people that are using our product at the customer side is dealing with. So BMW, for example, has more than 400 users of our web console spread all over the world, and they are responsible. Maybe I'm Tim, and Tim is responsible for his 20 clients in Malaysia, maybe. So, because Tim knows best when to roll out a patch or when to push a piece of software on computers that are maybe manufacturing some things at the engine of a M5, whatever. So, because of that, Tim gets our web console and he doesn't see this much task that we can do here. And this is the point where I open up another console. I will open up the console as I were Tim. And then our delegation model checks which permissions does Tim have. It's a little bit similar to SCCM 2012. Our system checks which permissions do I have and displays the console exactly in that fashion. So that means Tim will not get these... Oh, I'm sorry. What is the problem here again? Did I push the right one? So Tim should normally not get all these buttons. If I have the demo god on my side, it will work. But if not, then maybe I need to show it to you if it's interesting later on at our booth. Okay. Then I'll go through that. So normally I would have opened up Tim's console and Tim would only see maybe two buttons of that console. And Tim would only be able to push out software which he's allowed to see on the computers he's allowed to use and so on. Very similar to the thing that you know from SCCM 2012. The difference to the role and delegation model, what you know from SCCM, is that we are using a little bit more details on that role delegation model, where you can, as I said, exactly define which computers is Tim able to see, which software can he push out, and so on. But the difference is now, for all these options that you have in every of these wizards for pushing out a software, for creating a patch, for doing everything, maybe making, creating a new computer with OSD, we can permit Tim or a role of people on any of these options and also on any of these sub-options. So that means we can just blank out as many options as we want. So we should leave import a computer and software package there, because otherwise it won't work. But any other options we can really strip down to minimum, just create some kind of a template which maybe the help desk users are using to push out software. So that means stripping down that wizard will result in more easiness in usage. He cannot push the wrong button, he cannot choose the wrong option, he simply cannot see it. So this is the interesting thing on that. Sorry. Can you hand it over, please?
How does it integrate with the role-based access model of SCCM itself? Mm-hmm.
Good question. It doesn't integrate with the SCCM console or SCCM 2012 role and delegation model, because we are just, let's say, creating tasks with our console in SCCM 2012. We are not pulling any information like how is the delegation model configured in SCCM 2012 and using it for our console. So this is a separate configuration, because we are assuming that people that are using our console will not have access to SCCM 2012. So as I said, really the focus of that console is distributed users, distributed workers that are just needing access to specific options. And for that, they shouldn't get access to the SCCM console.
So you basically use a service account or something like that that just has full admin in SCCM?
You're talking about how we are creating tasks in SCCM.
Exactly.
That's exactly the case. Yeah. So we need a service account that our console, our product works with and is creating the tasks in SCCM. Against our console, you're accessing or you're permitting with your regular AD credentials.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions right now? Just let the microphone there. I come and grab it later on. Okay. That should be everything. So let's say we pushed out a piece of software to a computer. And this, so all what you have seen until now was the blue pill, the left pill. So only needing our web console to orchestrate SCCM. The second thing is the other pill, that where we are adding functionality which is maybe missing in SCCM right now. Therefore, I open up the agent. So this is now the end user perspective. I obviously have only one VM where I show everything. This is my server, this is my client, everything. This is the end user perspective. So optionally, you can use our agent, which runs beside the SCCM agent on potentially every end device. So most of our customers really do it like that. They are running the agent on every end device. And within that agent, I prepared some examples where I like to show you the benefit of the additional features that we have here. And one thing that I really easily could show you is the ease of use for the end user. So it should be really transparent for the end user which tasks come up. What do I need to install on my computer until when? So our strategy here is, or at least how our customers are using our product, that you are giving the customer some kind of freedom in terms of choosing an appointment for installation. In this case, I've already done that. So that means I can, as an administrator, as a rollout manager, I would say, I can create some kind of policy that says date XYZ, time XYZ, this software has to be installed on that computer. But until then, it's very similar like in SCCM, but the comfort that we give our users here is he can say, okay, this Friday, 2 p.m., I have a long break. Please install the software right then. So he can then book that appointment, and once the appointment comes, then the end user gets asked again from our agent that says, hey, you booked that appointment. Can I install the software right now? And if he's not declining it or postponing it again, then it will happen. One other thing is very interesting for malicious rollouts. If maybe an error in the package or maybe some distribution points are down or whatever, you can suspend rollouts. So that means, let's say you know your help desk or your service desk is able to handle maybe 100 tickets per hour. So we have inside our planning tool for bigger rollouts. So there's in the wizard, there's a little planning tool where you can say, I'd like to have 95% success rate on that rollout. Do maximum 6 rollouts per hour or 50 a day. So, and our backend logic then calculates based on the status that comes from the clients, how many clients are needed to be successful in order to fulfill that policy of 95% overall. So that means if you have maybe for 100 PCs, 6 PCs that are failing that rollout during the first day, you cannot reach 95%, right? So then you can automatically configure our system to suspend that rollout, send the administrator an email and say, hey, this rollout was suspended because you cannot reach 95% success rate anymore. Please have a look on that. So what happens then is, for the end user, the thing will be disabled. He cannot proceed with that rollout anymore. And you will, let's say, save service desk incidents. They will not raise up anymore, okay? Because you postponed that rollout, you suspended it, and you can fix the error before you go on. So this is, I don't know how many of you have experienced maybe a bigger rollout that is really failing on a majority of clients and flooding your service desk. One? Just one? Wow. Two? Okay, that's okay. I wouldn't raise my hand maybe if I have that experience. So yeah. So that's only interesting if you really made that experience, then you know how to value that feature. Maybe on the first slide I talked about a very interesting thing as well. We have the possibility in terms of feature add, what SCCM isn't able to do, and where I see customers scripting a lot, what we handle by default. And what is really a big source of errors and failed rollouts at our customers is if you're installing software, I do WinZip just again, and you are requiring another piece of software to be closed before your actual Adobe Reader with a plugin for the Internet Explorer will get installed, right? So you need to force the user to close Internet Explorer. How you do that? IC scripts. So if you do that script, sure, you can do very good user interaction, that's not a problem, but it's a script, it's still a script. So that means it runs once, then it quits. And this is, so we did, again, that was a thing that we assessed with ZF Friedrichshafen. They have 40,000 clients, and they had success rates about 92, 94, 93, 94%. And we looked, okay, how can we improve that maybe to more 1, 2, or 3 more percent, which is really a number of clients in that big environment. And we found out that one thing that is really causing lots of errors in rollouts is exactly this example. Many packages that you are installing have a dependency. And this dependency need to be closed before you install it, like in that case. And the user, maybe 5 minutes later, he says, okay, I want to go to the canteen. What is on the menu today? Let's see the card. Oh, I go to the intranet. Oh, internet is Internet Explorer. Doesn't remember that Internet Explorer shouldn't be open because the rollout will fail then. You know what I'm talking about? Is that a reasonable example for you? Or does anyone say, hey, that's crap? No, okay. So that is really a thing where we said we can really completely eliminate this source of error with our tool. You can simply say, while installing these or that package, please agent look and interact with the user. Internet Explorer, maybe other programs need to be closed and they need to reside closed until the rollout is finished. So the user then can say, okay, close it, or you say after 10 minutes or infinite time, it closes on its own, and then is the time when then the rollout will proceed. So that was a very interesting thing as well. Maybe I didn't manage to show you that. WinZip wasn't working before I reinstalled it right now. I missed to show it. That was my fault. But now it's working again. And the interesting thing here is that we are having very intelligent cache management, which means that if packages are cached or are persistent in the cache of the clients, you can install and reinstall and repair them no matter if you have online connection or not. You can do things like pre-stage software packages on the clients, and if the user is 10,000 feet above the earth and flying to San Francisco, his appointment comes, or he says, I need Adobe Reader update now, then he says, okay, I want to have it right now, and voila, even in offline mode, it works. Sure.
Or rather two questions. One is if you use a repair on an application, that can only be done if you do it from the control panel and is have access to run it, not as a local user, normal user. Can you do that with administrative rights, even that the user is not an admin?
I'm not really sure if I got your question right.
How can you repair an application that is installed with the SCCM? You cannot repair it in the SCCM console or in the software center from the SCCM. No, there's no repair button.
That just works from within our agent. So that logic is inside okay. our agent. That means so the software package needs to have the logic. So if you're just packaging a package which only knows the command install, then it will not work.
What okay? credential does it run with? The user or system?
That doesn't matter. So you can.
It must matter. If the user is not an admin, he can't repair all the keys in the. So it must be run a system.
Yeah. So our agent, it's a service.
Okay.
And this service runs in system context, right? Our UI is running in the local user context that is locked on the computer. So you can deal with both, with the user context and with the system context. You can install both parts of a piece of software.
Another question is, we have a problem with reboots.
Yeah.
If you set the client settings in SCCM, you have to force the time when the client needs to be rebooted, and that's not always appreciated.
I'd like to, that's maybe a little bit into detail. I would answer that question really into detail. Please come to our booth and I show you what the reboot behavior options are. We have very comprehensive options to deal with reboots and shutdowns, and we're also able to detect if unsaved Word documents are on the desktop of the user and then say, hey, we do not reboot because there is an unsaved document. So I'd like to show you that in detail, but that's a little bit too deep.
Thank you.
Okay? Thank you. Now, another question right now? Okay. So other examples that I see that our customers are using our functionality here is for stuff like that. Local admin permissions for a period of time. That's really interesting thing. So we have a worker. We call that worker inside of our agent. This is like a VisiVig editor where you can just put together by clicking with your mouse the actions that you need to have. And we have one worker that is able to move accounts, local accounts, AD accounts, whatever. So if you're dealing with AD accounts, you need an elevation user, where you have the credentials to do that. But basically the thing is, some developers, let's say the example again, he's 10,000 feet above the earth and he needs to develop whatever. And he needs to put in a piece of software, install it on his own right now. But he has only user permissions. Then what you can do is bring a service like that into the agent of the users and give him the possibility to, this is just an example, 60 minutes, it could be 2 days, to let the user himself elevate to administrator. That's very interesting as well. Customers like to use that very often. Okay, but that should be enough for possibilities that our agent has. We have lots more to show, so come to our booth. I'm happy with my two technical colleagues to present all that in detail to you. That should be enough for the live demo right now. Also, the packaging possibilities. So as you know, SCCM has no built-in packaging framework or packaging language, so we like to show what we have there in terms of that VisiVig editor to wrap packages with logic into detail, but come to our booth and participate with our drawing. So you can win an, what was it? Surface, Lumia, and one more interesting thing that I introduce you in a couple of minutes to, it's our package cloud. So let's go to the next topic. Where is my presentation? Here it is. Next topic, which I'd like to introduce you to, is our patch catalog for SCCM. So, whom of you is really dealing with third-party patching in SCCM today? One, two, three, four, five, wow, cool. Are you packaging on your own? Do you package the patches on your own using SCUP or whatever? Yeah, okay. Are you using Config Manager 2007 or 12? 12, okay, cool. Is that just for your own homebrew applications or for Java and so on as well? Okay, cool. That helps. So what we have is a service that delivers, let's say, metadata. It's just a catalog file, which you can use with SCUP. But first of all, I think I can go through that slide a little bit more quickly, because I assume all of you know the why. Why should I patch third-party applications, and why shouldn't I only patch my operating system or my office? So all the bad guys out there are loving to attack these applications like Flash and Adobe Reader that are residing on every client. So what is more interesting is what we are having to make the life of you guys easier. We have a cloud service to deliver a very broad variety of patch metadata to these applications, like we talked about that a couple of seconds before, like Java, like Adobe Reader, Flash, Mozilla, Firefox, Thunderbird, whatever. We have a big list here. The thing is that we updating that on a weekly basis. So you have, if you are subscribing to their cloud service, you have access to really very current information here. It is not necessary that you are using any third-party agents or tools beside Microsoft defaults. In our case, I know there are some competitors out there, they are having big solutions for patching every piece of software. Our thinking behind that, so in terms of that SCCM optimization, is just we want to have the applications on a current state. We don't want to have lots of infrastructure around that, new agents for that. We just want to have the content available to quickly patch these applications. And this is what we're delivering. This is containing the patch logic, so the dependencies for that packages. Does it run on x64-bit? Do I need to uninstall the other version before? Can I just update to the new version on top of the current version, and so on and so on? We have right now we have about 40 different products that are covered there. Complete list is available on our website, and we are ongoing increasing that number of patches or products that we are supporting there. Very interesting thing is that I saw you, many of you are caring about that topic. With CM07, it was exactly the case that we delivered these CAP files that you can import into System Center Updates Publisher, and from there you could publish it or make it available into WSUS, synchronize it with SCCM, and then you could deploy it from SCCM. So that was really the way we went if we are dealing with CM07. Even more convenient and more interesting from my point of view is making all that control, or maybe let's say the time that you spend on configuring and controlling SCUP, making that obsolete. So that means all these different steps that you had to go through, downloading the patch catalog from our website, importing it into SCUP, publishing it into WSUS, synchronizing it to SCCM are now a little bit more easy if we are coming to SCCM 2012, because we have a new way to go around SCUP. So we have a plugin for the SCCM console, which just connects. So you put in your credentials. If you subscribe to our service, you get a little installable that installs the plugin into your SCCM console. And from there, our cloud synchronization just updates on your schedule, whatever you set it, the data from our cloud. And you can, from within the SCCM console, select your updates, your vendors, your products that you want, and directly publish it in order to deploy it through regular SCCM patch deployments. Is there any question on that patching topic right now? Exactly the same way. Yeah, so I'd like to show that maybe in more detail if you're interested, but yes, it's working in exactly the same way, so that the patches will then just be at the same page within software updates in the Config Manager console once you published it through our plugin. Another question on that? If I get more time, I will quickly show that into the console then. Yeah. Okay, can you use the microphone, please? Thank you.
You show us in your module the whole catalog of patches, not what the end user have in the infrastructures.
So you mean that screenshot that I have here?
Yeah. Is it the whole database of your patch catalog?
So that is the whole database, but grouped by vendors.
Okay.
So there are many, many more products below that vendors. But yes, that's the complete catalog. I mean, there's a scroller, but it's not too big.
Okay.
So it's covering, right now, it's covering around 40 different vendors with separate products below that.
And it's an extra module, extra product, or is it in your solution?
That's a different module, so you can use that completely independent from Enterprise Manager, from our web console. This is just a little add-on that you can use just with SCCM. Another question? Okay. So the last thing that I maybe really introduce to you in a very quick demo is very similar to what I presented with the patch catalog for SCCM. It's the package cloud for SCCM. It's, let's say, it's somehow exactly the same. It's a cloud service which delivers prepackaged applications, prepackaged software packages, not applications in terms of Microsoft SCCM 2012 applications, prepackaged software packages that you can, with a little free tool that we give out with that, import into your SCCM infrastructure and upload it there as a package or as an application with deployment types. I'd like to show you that in a little live demo as well, if the time allows. We have around about 450 applications there. The community that is using this stuff is quite big. There are around, I think it's 350 users that are subscribing to that service right now. It's growing very fast. It's not too old, so it's a little bit kind of new, that service. The packages are covering German and English language and are 64 and 32 bits. We have this is very interesting for our customers. That is the reason why I have that on that slide. We have a pretty cool thing that's called Feedback Portal, so where the subscribers of that service can go onto the website and wish a package. So that means if you are subscribing to that service, you have an account, And with that account, you can go through to our online portal and say, hey, we like to have package XYZ. And the more people are voting, so it's like Facebook. So the more people that are voting on your package, the faster it will be into that package cloud. I mentioned that already. There is a so it's not only the package that we are delivering, but it's also a little tool, standalone tool that is we handed out for free at the moment, where you can upload these software packages, not only the prepackaged application that you get from us, but also your self-created packages into SCCM as package or as application with the different programs or deployment types that you need. The cool thing about that is, question at that point, how many guys of you are dealing with more than five guys that are packaging, actually, that are creating software packages? One, two, three? So with that little tool that we have there, it's really nice from my point of view, because you can you are not having the need to put these packaging guys to the SCCM console, but you're just giving them the tool, and the tool reads the package shares where the packaging guys put their packages on, and from that they are having let's call it some templates where you define the options. A package name should always be like name, vendor, package name, version, whatever. So you get some kind of standardization in your packaging environment. And I would say, take a look on our website. That's really, for that number of package, unbeatable quality price ratio. It's a subscription on a yearly basis that is really attractive for you guys, because it really covers most of the regular Office applications that I assume all of you are using today. So, that's one subscription covering all the packages. There's no option like, I only want to have Office, do I only need to pay 1% of the price or so? That's not possible. Okay, another question? This is the little tool that I talked about, what is able to upload packages and applications to SCCM. That's all from my side, so from the slideshow. If we have more questions, I think we can go through that. We have 5 minutes left, but the last thing that I wanted to say is, if you want, please take advantage of our drawing. Come to our booth. You need to estimate how many balls are in that big thing. I don't know the English word for that. And then put in your business card, two or three details, and then you will hopefully win the first, second, or third prize. And you can ask all your questions in detail that you have. So thank you.